Welcome back to Locked On Spurs, right here on the Locked On NBA Network. I am your host, Jeff Garcia of News 4 San Antonio and Fox29SanAntonio.com. Hopefully you all are being safe, staying indoors, doing your part to stop the COVID-19 virus from spreading. And I know you are. And just like you are aware, as am I, there is no indication that the San Antonio Spurs nor the NBA in general will be resuming anytime soon. So basically, we are just waiting for that day to come back. But, you know, time to fill the void, right? Well, you're not the only one that's being impacted by the COVID-19 virus. I am. Our guest is, who I'll introduce in a bit. But there's other people out there, not only people, animals. The zoo, specifically the San Antonio Zoo. For those of y'all who live in San Antonio or visited San Antonio, you know the zoo is a must visit. It is just full of so many exhibits, so many things to do, family friendly. It's been a part of my life since growing up in San Antonio. And, well, times are tough right now. As many of you are well aware of, the San Antonio Zoo had to furlough some people, some of their employees, and is pretty much in shutdown mode. And obviously, with the COVID-19 virus, it had to be done. But now it's time that the zoo needs our help. And there's a fundraiser that's going on. We'll talk about that in a few seconds, what you can do for the San Antonio Zoo. And yes, we will have a little fun on today's show. We're going to be going back in time and looking for that one moment in Spurs history that you and me, the guest, would love to change and why. And I'm hopefully that I don't get any April Fool's jokes on me because I got hit really hard yesterday. Let's go and introduce the president and CEO of the San Antonio Zoo and Zoo School, Tim Morrow. Tim, welcome to Locked On Spurs. And by the way, quickly, well done. Well done. You got me good yesterday, April Fool's.
Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it. And we're just trying to, through our social media, have a little bit of fun and keep some people's spirits up.
Yeah. For those of you who missed it, basically the elephants were in the San Antonio River enjoying some time away from their cages or their places in the zoo. And that was fake. So, and I bit it and I got laughed at. So,
you know, there really is, there really is stories of back in the early days of the zoo of elephant keepers taking elephants down into the park to swim in the river. So it wasn't totally far-fetched for people to fall for. And so it was something that was done in the past at the zoo, just something that we wouldn't do now, but we'd have some fun with it. We have a long history of April Fool's jokes going back to the 1930s. So it was just something that we wanted to continue and break up people's timelines with something fun and give them something to smile about.
It looked legit. It really did. Those photographs of the elephants in the zoo were, it looked real. So I bought it.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. You know, we have three elephants and I just got on Google and looked for, elephants in a river and popped up three Asian elephants in a river at a sanctuary in Cambodia. So we've reached out to them. We even included a little link on our Facebook post to see if anyone wanted to give them donations for the protection of Asian elephants that are doing over there in Cambodia.
Well done. Well, let's go ahead and talk about the San Antonio Zoo. As I said moments ago, the zoo needs all the help it can get right now because of the COVID-19 virus, and you had to do what you had to do for the sake of the health of your employees and you and everybody else involved, citizens of San Antonio. But that comes at a price, and that price being that, well, it's time for fundraising time and reaching out to the community to help out. Tim, in a nutshell, what happened with the zoo? Why is this fundraiser going on? And what can San Antonio do? Or just anybody who just has an online internet.
Yeah, we have a lot of ways for people to help. And, you know, we really started planning for a closure. As you know, we follow each other on social media. I'm a big sports fan. And I knew once they closed Italian soccer to fans that the world was in trouble and that we were going to be facing closure in the United States. And then, you know, over that first week of spring break when we saw the NBA shut down, and then I think the next day was Disney and then international travel to Europe. And then the theme parks started shutting down in the zoos. And then that's when the mayor, you know, asked everyone to not gather in large groups. And we feel as a nonprofit cultural institution here in San Antonio, we have a social contract with the community to be positive and work with the community and for the community. So we shut down that next morning as soon as we could and have been closed ever since. And unlike most zoos in the United States, we're not funded or operated by the city. We are a 100% 501c3 nonprofit. And so when we don't have visitors coming to us, we lose basically all of our ability to generate income. We depend 100% on ticket sales and guest visitations and donations to operate. And so Now with no gate and no visitors anymore, we're 100% depending on donations and things like that to try to get us through this time of being closed.
And these donations, they obviously go to the upkeep of the zoo during this period of time?
Yeah, so we have, you know, a large animal collection of up to 7,000 animals. And so we have a large staff that has to stay and maintain the world-class animal care that we provide here. So we have staff still here, almost 300 employees still with us. And every day there's animal care staff here. There is maintenance here doing infrastructure work. And we have security here 24 hours a day and things. So we still have to operate. We just can't turn off the lights and go home like some other businesses. So we are still here caring for animals and caring for our employees as best we can. And so their donations are really going towards helping fund payroll and animal care and food and everything you could imagine that would be happening here on the day that we're closed.
And, you know, there's still, you know, obviously the city of San Antonio, the citizens, they can't go into the zoo physically, but there are certain things that the zoo is still holding on. For example, the train. I think the train is still operational, or that has changed.
We just shut down the train. We were operating the train, so we had closed down. Yeah, we had closed every other row. And when the fifth order from the mayor came out about stay at home and only leave your home for these three reasons, we shut the train down. So we're still operating. We have a Starbucks inside Breckenridge Park that's still operating with to-go options. But other than that, the train has shut down now. Kitty Park has shut down. The zoo has shut down. And our Wilson Zoo School have all shut down. So all of our ways we generate revenue or tuition have been completely closed off.
All right. Now, for those of y'all who are listening in who never visited San Antonio or not, born and raised in San Antonio like I was, the zoo is a big part of the community. It really is. It's schools go there. I grew up there. I mean, talk about back in the day when the sky rides were around. I mean, that's how far I go back visiting the San Antonio Zoo. BRAC is there, and it's integral for the community. And when Tim mentioned Kitty Park, again, another staple in San Antonio, it's just exactly what it sounds like, a little park for kids. And pretty much everybody who grew up in San Antonio has gone through there and have their great moments with their family at Kitty Park. And, you know, it was unfortunate what happened. You know, obviously the greater health of people, that came first. But as Tim mentioned, you know, now it's time where the zoo needs help. Now, the fundraiser. Tim, tell everybody about it, where they can go and donate.
Sure. There's a couple of ways people can help us. One is donation, which we've set up an emergency fund to help us with our staff and animal care, as I was speaking about. And people can visit sazoo.org, and right on that front page is going to be a link to our emergency fund where they can go and donate. And then we have other ways that we've been trying to, you know, get creative. We're a scrappy group, and we refuse to fail. So we've launched some fun programs on social. We've got our Adopt an Animal, where we're shipping out animals now. So you can adopt an animal. You get a little plush in a box with a certificate, and there's six or seven different plush animals you can choose from to adopt. We have an annual pass that people can purchase for the zoo. We just launched a new version of that that's good for 15 months since we are closed right now. So you get 3 months free. Hopefully we're not closed for 3 months, but you're going to get 3 months free. And then it's also 25% discounted from its regular 12-month price. So it's a 25% off annual pass. That's good for 15. So another great deal. And we're looking at some other fun things that we can do with FaceTime and things like that to give kind of private tours virtually to people in the next coming weeks. And so we're really trying to find unique ways that people can help us, either by purchasing a product that they get to enjoy, like an annual pass or an adopt an animal, or if they just want to donate, which we greatly appreciate, to our emergency fund, they can go right to our webpage and donate there.
A link will be in the show notes where you can click and go contribute and help Tim and the entire San Antonio Zoo family in their time of need. And look, Tim, for those of y'all who follow Tim on social media or the zoo just in general social media, you know they love to have fun during Spurs season. They always have their infamous parking slots. That was always my favorite. Whenever there's a hot free agent out there and, you know, Tim and the zoo trying to entice them, you know, let's say free passes and a parking spot. So that should tell you, Spurs fans and listeners, how in tune they are, not with just the needs of the zoo community and the needs of the schools that visit there. They're part. They're woven into the fabric of San Antonio, Bexar County, and the surrounding counties of San Antonio. So please do what you can to donate. Now, Tim, any word on you know, when the zoo will open up, or that's still, you know, an unknown?
That's probably the most frustrating part of what I think everyone's going through right now, whether you're staying at home or, you know, not out with friends or have a business that's closed, is we just don't know how long it's going to go. And so, you know, the city has a stay-at-home order that expires on a certain date. The state has a order that expires on a date. The federal government's coming out with dates and things like that. So really, it's a moving target. And we're just hoping as a zoo and a staff and a community that, you know, the country and the world gets through this without, you know, too many deaths, and that we can get back to normal living once the curve comes back down. But that's, I think that's the biggest challenging part of what we're going through, and we feel for the whole community, which is a big reason why we're having, you know, doing so much on our social media. And we do have a reputation really worldwide of having a really fun social media account for our zoo. We feel people come to our zoo to have fun. We want our staff to have fun. So that's the personality of our zoo that we portray on social. And so, you know, we have a lot of fun with the Spurs. Tony Parker's on the board of the zoo, has been on the board for many years. You know, all the guys come out here with their families and kids. And so we're very connected, as is most people in San Antonio. And a little known fact, you know, I was on the Spurs stat crew for many years. So I sat, you know, courtside with Phil Land and Sean Elliott and did stats for many years. And before that, my dad was the NBA security rep for 20 years. So I have a long history with the Spurs personally and as a fan. So it's been fun to kind of put those worlds together here at the zoo in a lot of different and fun ways.
Another reason why you should go out there and click the link below and support Tim, the zoo family, all the employees, everybody involved in trying to keep it up during this this very bad period, and not only in San Antonio, but across the globe as the coronavirus is making an impact. And again, it's not just felt on the hardwood listeners, you know, the Spurs season on hold right now, the NBA world on hold practically. You know, it's beyond that, and that should give you an idea of exactly, you know, that there's more to life than Spurs. I know, shocking, locked on Spurs, but yeah, there really is. And right now the zoo needs your help. Tim, one more time, can you give out that link?
Sure, it's sazoo.org. And right when people land on that first page, they're going to see that is the landing page right now, is for emergency fund, as that's our focus right now.
All right, there you go. Click that link. The zoo needs your help, and the animals do as well as the people still maintaining it as the COVID virus impacts the globe and San Antonio. All right, when we get back, we're going to shift gears, have a little fun with Tim, and we're going to put him to the test. If there is one moment in Spurs franchise history that he could change, what would it be and why? We're back, and I'm joined by Tim Morrow. You know him, you love him. He is the San Antonio Zoo, CEO and president. And Tim, again, you know, thank you for hopping on Locked On Spurs to tell everybody exactly what the San Antonio needs right now. But time to have a little bit of fun.
Always.
You mentioned in the first segment, that you have a connection to the Spurs. You know, statistician, your father. So you're well aware of the history of the San Antonio Spurs. I take it you've been a lifelong fan.
Yeah, you know, I lived in San Antonio when I was small, second and third grade, and was a Spurs fan then moved to Dallas and started to like the Mavericks and realized I was heading towards the dark side, so I came back to the Spurs. My family had moved back down here after moving away to Dallas for a little bit in the early 90s, and so games at Hemisphere, games at Alamo Dome, and games at the AT&T Center. So it's been a lot of fun to watch the growth of the Spurs and them get that first championship and the four since then. So,
yeah. Well, let's put that knowledge to the test now. If you can change one moment in Spurs franchise history, what would it be and why?
Man, there were so many. This was a really hard one to think about and to choose from. But I think the one moment, if I look at big picture of the Spurs over their entirety of their existence and their future, is really the draft day trade for Kawhi. I would take back and not do that trade.
Wow.
I know that sounds. Yeah. You know, we had some nice years with Kawhi, and we got a championship with Kawhi. And whether we would have got that without him or not is debatable. And the Spurs looked so good that year that I probably could have been on the team, and they may have had a chance. But I just think what happened after the when he was injured, and then what he put us through the next year or 2 years has, you know, really set back our franchise and our city for tens or 20 years. And so, you know, if we hadn't made that trade, what would have happened what would we have built, because Pop and RC have done such a great job building this franchise for so many years, and the continuation and the baton passing from, you know, David to Tim and Manu and Tony, and then it meant to be passed to Kawhi, and just the way he left us with really limited options, I think really has hurt the franchise for the next, I don't know how many decades. And so we've been so spoiled with, you know, there's generation, probably a lot of your listeners have never known anything but championship runs. And so this year was very frustrating for them, and frustrating for longtime Spurs fans to see how quickly people turned on the team after having such a long run of across three decades and really across two centuries of championships, and how quickly the community kind of turned a little bit and got frustrated and had lost a little bit of hope. And it really all, I think, stems back to what Kawhi did to us and that trade with for George.
Yeah, there are a segment of fans that do agree with you that, you know, hindsight's 2020, we get it, but it did bring an additional title to the city of San Antonio. There was one in 2014 with him. He was the Finals MVP of that series. But then, right, you know, you kind of balance, you know, but at what cost? Sure, that's glory, that's title glory, a fifth NBA banner in the AT&T Center. But now the Spurs are seemingly going to suffer for quite some time for the injury. Excuse me. Sorry, I had to clear my throat there. Quick, Tim. Injury.
I know the feeling. It's allergy season.
Yeah, it's allergy. That's all. It's just allergies right now. I'm not casting dispersions on Kawhi or Uncle Dennis. The way. Those ripple effects are still being felt till today. And, you know, the Spurs were held at gunpoint. You know, he was bouncing. No matter what, he was going to leave. And it could have been worse, Tim, if he just sat and played the rest of his contract out and just walked, and the Spurs had no choice. And well, you're seeing what happened right before the break. They didn't even hit 30 wins yet, and they were deep in the season. Tim, your thoughts?
Yeah. It was interesting to watch, you know, a franchise like Toronto that had never had a championship winning tradition. They seemed happy to get 1 year out of Kawhi and be left by him because they got their championship. And that's just not the mentality of San Antonio, where it's been, you know, team first and longevity. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you look at these players, people talk about San Antonio's market all the time, but you look at the players that have stayed here to play here with David and Tim and Tony and Manu, none of them are from here. Three of them are not from this country and still decided to stay here and play in this market for this same coach and this same staff and the same management. And actually, you know, all live here now after the season, after their NBA career. So that says something about the Spurs organization and, the kind of quality of player that Pop and RC have really looked to draft. And Kawhi was a great athlete, you know, maybe a square trying to fit into a round hole, but you know, he looked like the heir apparent to hand the baton to, and he just dropped it on the ground and walked away.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure you did not, or you at the zoo did not put out a free parking spot for him after that stunt he pulled. So,
you know, we had offered him one when we were in that period of what's Kawhi going to do. And then, when the trade was forced, we issued a trespass warrant, so he's never allowed to visit San Antonio Zoo or Kitty Park.
Boom, right there, listeners. You hear that? You know, Tim's laying down the law with Kawhi. All right. Tim, my turn now. And sure, there's the Kawhi, which is a good pick. Yeah. Do you make the trade on draft day or not? You said you would go back and change that. For me, I go for a little further back. And I know there was Spurs fans, listeners, there was a time before Tim Duncan arrived when David Robinson was the big name, and he was the franchise before Tim took the baton. I would go back to the series against the Rockets where Olajuwon versus Robinson, and that still haunts me to today because that was Robinson's MVP season. I mean, he was just wrecking the NBA. And things that I would go back and change about that night would, A, I would tell the Spurs, do not present the MVP trophy in front of Olajuwon that night. I might don't give him any more fuel than he probably already has right now. And B, I would just also tell the Spurs, you know, hey, you might want to triple team this guy. And David, heads up, you know, this is going to happen. Why do I want to change that moment? Because I would have loved to see Robinson, you know, himself, you know, lead a Spurs team to the finals. And I think that was the semifinals, if I remember correctly. And just to see that he could do it on his own. And yes, Tim Duncan was a GOAT, you know, for the Spurs. He is a legend. He is number one guy, but Robinson always had that knock on him. Like, can he lead this team to the glory land? And him alone, he couldn't. He got close, but he didn't. But he ran into the likes of Olajuwon and Barkley and Clyde Drexlers and Karl Malone and Stockton's, you know, those were, there were beasts of the day. And I wanted to see Robinson do it him on his own, lead the Spurs team on his own, on his back, and win a title pre-Duncan. Now, I'm not here sitting talking to you, Tim, saying, oh, you know, darn you, Timmy, you know, you took away Robinson's chance. No, I think Robinson needed help, and I think everybody did. But I would love to just have seen Robinson lead a team to the finals. I think that was the closest that he got on his own, and really do it. And unfortunately, you know, everybody seen the video of Olajuwon just, you know, wrecking it on the court in the series versus San Antonio. Robinson was on the bad end of that. And just erase that from memory and move forward, and then bring Tim Duncan on. Then we would win more titles. Tim, your thoughts?
Yeah, I remember. I think it was that 95, 96, somewhere around
95,
there.
95, yes. Yep.
Yep. And I remember Tim winning the MVP, and the Dream Shake was in full effect. And
yep.
Olajuwon just basically took the MVP trophy and hit David over the head with it. But I think the Spurs had realized going into that season or the season before that he needed help, and they had brought Dennis Rodman in.
Yeah.
And I think part of the challenge in that series with the Rockets was Dennis was very focused on being Dennis and getting rebounds and maybe not necessarily guarding his man all the time in order to get in position for rebounds and things like that, which hurt the whole defensive scheme and kind of left David out there on his own a lot when we knew what Akeem was doing one-on-one. So I kind of look at that series and I was a huge Dennis Rodman fan, excited when he came, you know, devastated to lose Sean for a little bit, but excited to get Dennis at the time with who Dennis was. And but I think that had a lot to do with that Houston series too, was Dennis's focus on being Dennis and getting his rebounds and kind of leaving teammates out to hang as far as coverages and rotations and things like that. But that was the closest we had. That was the taste we got to get close. And then, you know, couple years later when we played maybe Tim's first or second year when we played Utah, and he looked so great in that series, and you could tell we were getting there finally. And,
yep.
And then, you know, we got Sean back for the night. I never forget 99. The night we drafted Bill Curley, and everyone was like, "Who is that?" And traded for Sean Elliott. That was the moment where I was like, "Okay, I'll never question Popovich or RC Buford again, no matter what they do." So
they got Curley
when they drafted Kawhi. Everyone was like, "They must know something because." Like he must be really good, but he just didn't fit.
And you know what? A quick aside, you know, shout out to George Hill. You know, he's a Milwaukee Buck, but yet, you know, he's still donating to the local medical frontline people right now and have some food or something.
San Antonio, helping out and being part of this community. And it goes back to all these players that they just have this connection. And I think really appreciate the fans here. You know, I see you see the guys out and about, and I see other cities how people treat NBA players, and a lot of the players here can kind of go out and do their thing in San Antonio, and you can't do that in other big cities. They just are mobbed by people, and I think people in San Antonio show them more respect and have appreciation for them and know that they're just people in our community and appreciate that they stay and play in San Antonio, because we all know they could go to L.A. or someplace like that.
Mm-hmm.
Like somebody I'm not talking about anymore did.
Patty Mills is pretty good about that. He lives in the Southtown area, and he will just go out and enjoy a meal or a drink with his wife. And, you know, pretty much everybody leaves him alone. And that's the sense of family that the city of San Antonio has. And again, another reason why you should click the link below and help the San Antonio Zoo, Tim, and everybody on his staff in this pretty tough moment that the zoo and city of San Antonio and the world is going through fighting the coronavirus. All right. When we get back, we're going to wrap up our chat with Tim in just a few seconds. We are back, and I am joined by the one, the only Tim Morrow. He's the president and CEO of the San Antonio Zoo and the Zoo School. Tim, you know, it would behoove me, I have to ask you one more time, please tell everybody how they can help out the zoo, the link, and what the money goes to.
Sure. Yeah. We're asking everyone in the community, and really outside of San Antonio, we're really the zoo of this whole region of South Texas. If you think about it, from north of Austin down to the Valley to Corpus over towards Houston and Del Rio. And so a lot of people we're 106 years old. They've been coming here for generations. And so really, we need help more than we ever have. So we're asking people to donate to us at sazoo.org or go on there and find our adopt an animal kits or purchase an annual pass and really support us that way, and then have a whole year to come visit us. And so lots of ways to help us. We're a nonprofit, so we depend on, you know, guest visitation, which we don't have, And so now it's really leaning on the community to help us through donations. And we've really appreciated all the donations we've seen already in the community really rally to support the zoo. Not only the zoo, the cultural institutions in town, the Witte and the Botanical Gardens. And we have all these great places in San Antonio that have just grown so much in the last 5-10 years with big expansions and world-class museums and a zoo. And so we appreciate the citizens and the community really rallying to help us. But for us specifically, you can visit sazoo.org, and that money is really going to help us care for all these animals through this closure and get us out to the other side where we can have a grand reopening and welcome back our community to get outside and enjoy the weather and reconnect with nature.
Yeah, and look, outside of the joke, the April Fool's joke that Tim got was, again, you know, exquisite. The zoo also has given a lot of memories to San Antonio, even recent ones. I mean, Tim and the zoo were behind the whole the cockroach Valentine's thing, you know, feed a cockroach to the animals. And that was a huge hit that really brought a lot of smiles, some laughter, you know, on Valentine's Day, as well as sharing the love as well. So Tim and the zoo, a lot for the city of San Antonio. And I really think that everybody should contribute as much as they can in these difficult times. Tim, let's talk about social media now. How can they follow you on social media to pretty much agree with you about your feelings on Kawhi Leonard?
Sure, Jacob. Well, I really enjoy following you on social media. So my on Twitter, I'm at Manana Zoo, like M-A-N-A-N-A Zoo. It's Manana, but I can't figure out how to put the little, you know, the N-Y on there. People are always like, what's Manana Zoo? I'm like, it's Manana, because my name is Tim Morrow, like tomorrow. So that's where the name comes from. Same on Instagram. I think it's Manana Tex on Instagram. It may be Manana Zoo, but either Manana Zoo or Manana Tex, you'll be able to find me on social media, either on Instagram or on Twitter or Facebook. So I enjoy doing social media. I think it's a great way to connect with the community, with people, and you can tell that the zoo really enjoys social media. I really enjoy doing the zoo social media because, one, bringing attention, the stuff we've done has brought a lot of attention to San Antonio, which we're really proud of, this city. And so the Roach campaign is a good example of that. Went viral all over the world. It was Jim Rome featured us, and the Daily Show and the Today Show. And so we've done, and our Timothy the Hippo love letters to Fiona has gone viral around the world. Mm-hmm. And our WWE wrestlers, tug of warring with the Lions. And so we have a lot of fun on social, and we want people to have fun with us and represent San Antonio in a fun way.
Tim is a must follow on social media. Please give him a follow. As for me, you can follow me on Twitter at Jeff G Spurs Zone. Go to the Spurs Zone News for San Antonio, Fox29SanAntonio.com, where you can get more information about how you can contribute to the fundraiser that Tim and the zoo are putting on right now. And they need your help, as well as other Spurs news. Yes, there is Spurs news. Believe it or not, there is. From what Manu Ginobili, Matt Bonner, and Tony Parker are doing to show support for local businesses in this time. And speaking of Manu Ginobili, apparently his wife is having it up to her neck with dealing with him living in quarantine life. We'll go find out what she had to say about her husband and the Spurs legend. But for Tim Morrow, I am Jeff Garcia, and we're going to put a lock on this episode of Locked On Spurs.